And we've invited to join us today one of the Grafton historians. She knows a lot about Grafton, put a book together for Grafton. It's Doris Wildenheim. Doris, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Doris told me she's glad to come out because the weather's better. Now she can get out and start driving some more, right?
Definitely. See? After not having driven all winter, I have wheels and I can go where I want to go.
What kind of wheels do you drive these days?
Oh, I have a Mercury.
Okay. Yeah. And you're here to talk a little bit about some of the history of Grafton. And one of the things that kind of was brought to our attention on Monday when we were talking to the library folks was about the what they refer to as the Grafton Tornado, or the Tornado, 50th anniversary of this. And I guess people refer to whatever tornado depending on where they live.
Right.
Pittsfield is the one that I guess got the most. About that. This happened on Palm Sunday, 1965.
Mm-hmm.
It's April 11th. What do you remember about that firsthand, I suppose, and what did the newspaper clippings tell us?
Well, I remember a great deal about it. We were very fortunate. We did not completely lose our home. We had... The roof went up, came back down, and usual mess, everything that would go with tornado.
Now, wait a minute. Let's start over here. Tell me about that. What time of day did this happen, and what were you doing just prior to this going on?
Well, I had been working all day on a project for Ohio Women's Club, and my husband was a great baseball fan, and he was watching the ball game. And actually, it was like 9 o'clock or so, and I guess I walked through and stretched and so forth and said, you know, after working on that all day, if I didn't think the roof would fall in, I'd go to bed because I'm a late go-to-bedder. Well, I poked around. I didn't go to bed. And about 10:25 or so, I walked in the hall, looked out the front door, the glass pane at the top, and I thought, oh, sky looked kind of an odd color, but, you know. And the thing I really remember was there wasn't a breath. I just felt like everything had stopped. And the ball game was over, so while he had left it on to listen to the news. Well, the after baseball program before the news. And so all of a sudden, he's watching, and I'm standing looking out the door, and all of a sudden I heard from the TV man break in and say, 25 miles southwest of Cleveland, tornado. And I thought, my mother, little Andrew, to go in the living room and said, Wally, that's us. And boom, the electric went off. And you know, boom, it did. It all happened so quickly. I went one direction to my son's bedroom and flopped down on top of him. My husband went the other way, saying, I'll get a flashlight. you don't realize what you... He headed toward the kitchen and the closet there. The closet door he had to open would open in front of him, which probably saved him because my kitchen windows and practically the kitchen all piled up against that door. If he had not got that door open with the glass, he could have been seriously injured. So we lucked up. From then on, we checked things. I walked out my back door, crawled out. Realizing my back door neighbor's house had disappeared. My next door neighbor's top had gone. We have a one-story home. She had a two, so it came off us. It took the top of her house off. And I'm finally getting out through the breezeway, which all the screening and everything had tumbled in, and here came my neighbor from next door, out her back door walking over. And from then on, it was we parked our son in the basement with a flashlight. My neighbor, Etta May, had son Robert was home. He was sleeping in a bedroom above the garage. And he woke up, and I don't know what it was. Anyway, he woke up and realized that the stairs coming down was intact. So he came down, and I can stare here yelling for his mother, Mom, where are you? So then they kind of stayed with us the rest of the evening because the basement was usable. Everyone talks about the train noise. The only thing I remember is that extreme quietness, just not a breath of air. And so it turned out to be, we were very fortunate. We had the Sparkle Market, and we had to get to work. And I actually don't think I was on any streets in Grafton to actually see the damage, except from my house out to the store and back. So I didn't get over on Sunshine Court.
So this is happening, say, at nighttime.
Yes, 10:28 at night.
So talking about, it's going to be dark, obviously, then.
It was this odd light. It wasn't, as I think back, it wasn't the dead blackness of night that you think of. It just seemed to be rather, as I could see around and see the other things around, that I probably wouldn't have had. It was just a strange light.
At what point did you then, I guess, that's when everybody started surveying the damage and finding out how far it came across the county, where
in
the county?
We had no idea. The next morning, well, we spent the rest of the night in the basement, in our basement, and wondered why there was a flight draft that we had could close off the rec room, and discovered the next morning that my neighbor's chimney had come down, knocked part of my basement wall out, and was in my basement. So that's why little known to us what had happened. But the next morning then, Wally had to get to the store. He had no idea what had happened as far as that was concerned. Nothing had, thank heaven. And my mother lived in Wellington, and of course there was no phone service anyway, but I didn't want her accidentally finding out. So David and I walked over to my sister-in-law's house over here on the corner, borrowed her car, and drove to Wellington, and went down all through the mess there on the road to LaGrange. It was at Indianola. And there were a zillion workers out. And as I was driving and weaving between the trees, they looked at me like, what are you doing out? But I had a legitimate reason to be out. So anyway, we got to Wellington and told Mom, came back and drove around to the lady's home that was our so-called, well, he wasn't a baby anymore, our son's caretaker, I guess. And got back, and when I got back to the house, I had any number of friends who were there trying to clean up debris, you know, and try to get a path through and do those things. So, and it was just constantly like that between the business and just trying to go up and get things done there. I really, as I said, never got around to actually see the damage in the rest of the town, except I could see from my back door.
Well, whatever damage you have right around you is all you need to wonder. You know, you're looking at everything like that.
No, and there were so many odd things happen. Had I gone to bed, I might not be alive because half the telephone pole was laying in my bed. If Wally hadn't jumped up out of his chair where he'd been sitting, we found a big piece of a 2x4 or something in his chair. So, you figure that your life's planned a little bit.
Yes.
You know? And then we had to get we got a trailer in, parked it in the backyard. We lived in that until September, till the house was all redone and everything.
Was that, I guess, typical of a lot of people, of what they were able to, or yes, how they were able to get through from April until the point where things
were? There were a lot of units brought in and all over that people used as their homes. Mm-hmm.
What, as a historian looking back at that now, what other things have you could tell us about that, or the number of fatalities or people that...
Well, that was something. Grafton was very fortunate. One, my man died as a result of some injuries he had, but we had no loss of life like Pittsfield, which was just plain wiped out. You know, I mean, there was so much. But you know, and that's another thing about the tornado. No one seemed to know anything had happened in Grafton because they knew Pittsfield. Pittsfield was getting all the attention, and really there was very little bit that ever got out about Grafton until during the early morning hours. And the fact that we didn't have casualties was a plus, you know. I mean, that's just unbelievable that happened.
Whenever a tornado comes through a community, it sort of changes the landscape, maybe even forever. Is there any remnants or still visible signs that people would know that a tornado ever went through here?
Not just off the top of my head. I really can't think of anything that if I were cruising around town would think, oh, that was from the tornado. We cleaned up well, you know. And there are traces. Of course, some of the places were completely blown away. And of course, we had the odd thing happen down at the end of Hickory Street, where the house on the south side of Hickory Street was picked up, dropped across the street opposite the front door of the people on the north side of the street. The people in the house never knew they'd moved. And so the father would finally open the front door to see what had happened. And here he's looking into his neighbor's front door. And it always had told that the people in that north house, his name was Rumpler. And these people in the south house had not lived there that long. And Jo Ellen had said, and when she came to the door of the area and saw, she said, "You know, I invited you for lunch, but I didn't expect you to bring your house." Oh, there were so many things that happened.
Wow, that's amazing, too. And I was looking online, and I know that Neil Zirker has done things related to that, and he posted a lot of the pictures, which you mentioned, from Pittsfield, because that's probably where all the news people went.
And everybody was there. That was total disaster.
Right. But obviously, the tornado has a path that goes through. You mentioned that how long did it last for you? I mean, that's maybe
boom.
Just like
they
that.
They say it's a matter of seconds, and it was, it didn't take long, let me tell you, it was like that, you know. It
and
was
all
just
the damage.
I know, realize you can't see my hands
right.
moving, but it was just an instantaneous thing. That was,
well, you're going to do a program at the library related
yes,
to this.
We are, and I had a letter from Pittsfield history people and inviting us to their ceremony. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I sure missed this. The tornado was the farthest from my mind in 50 years. So I got right on it with the library, because we, the History Association and the library, work closely together. We have furnished them, when the history room, we helped furnish that, gave them money for that. And we just recently spent a great deal of money to get all new state-of-the-art recording equipment. Scanners and things like that, because one of the librarians, Sherry, is very much into history, and she had developed a plan for what we're calling a community history club, because us as an association have not had, we have any meetings we have are open, but we have never since the book came out had a program to come see it. You know, we have not been having, because people don't have time for all these meetings and people don't like to volunteer anymore. When we started the association, we had maybe 25 people. We have 7 members. Kiwanis has 7 members. You know, volunteering and that type of work is just gone. So with this idea of a community history club, the library's out. Now, we have, of course, the use of the town hall, but the hours are not that good. For the library, we have evening hours. We can plan, do things. They have the equipment there to put on a program. And it's a good place to have a meeting. We have the history room. So I called right away on Monday and said, oh, you know, we've got to do something. We've got to have some kind of a celebration. And so we sat down and decided we just right then get busy on some of our interviews and things like that. So this past week, we've been setting up interviews for people. Of course, my history collection, all my work and so forth from the book, is in the history room. And the library had quite a collection of pictures and so forth. And in 2008, I believe it was, had done a program on the tornado. So they had some work that they could rely on to get started. So this past week now, we've been in the process of getting a program put together for April 15th at 6:30. We had it, well, needed to stay away from the April 11th date, which is the actual date, because of the programming that Pittsfield has, because they have quite a program planned, and it's a commemorative thing. They're putting a plaque out and this and that. So we're knee-deep right now and getting his program going.
And you mentioned about stories. So are you interviewing people about their experiences related to the tornado?
Yes.
Okay. And that's, you know, that's one thing to have a newspaper report and have a history. Another thing is you shared with us sort of firsthand accounts, which have those kind of minor stories that people, it's almost like what was imprinted in them related to this tornado. And that's what you're sharing,
you know, with the
together.
And I would like to add something now about the tornado. is a splash pad. The Kiwanis Club started with the splash pad in 2009, and we had our ups and downs, and it took us a while but finally we had the splash pad, and it was very successful when we opened it last year. Now work has started, I see. The village got a grant for a new parking lot or a parking lot near the splash pad so the children don't have to cross the path. I see they've started that. The Kiwanis, we have been able, History Association brought one toy, as we call them, for the splash pad, because all these spouts of water come up. Mm-hmm. But then you can add these toys. We've got a water cannon. There's just, you name it, and we can get it. But it's very expensive. And so since then, Ross Environment people came across with a big grant for us, and so we have a really nice toy coming in for that. I believe it's here. And Kiwanis has bought one more. We're still looking for money because we'd still like to put maybe another piece or two in. So I keep suggesting that all people in Grafton have been so generous, not only when we were working with the book, because now we are using some of the money that we had left from that for the village. Excuse me. of course, lost my train of thought.
Well, we're getting the donations or the money for the...
and there are still, and I think they're all out yet, there are still containers for loose change around in the stores, and we're still suggesting to people that make a contribution, because we would like to buy at least one more toy for that, which I think personally would be a sufficient.
Well, Doris, we want to thank you for stopping in and sharing some of the history with us, and the people, again, the library is having that program coming. You said the 5th?
The 15th, 6:30 in the evening. So we have a lot of work cut out for us this next week or
still
2 weeks.
You still have some months to get a little bit of time to get some things together. But a lot of great things, especially as you mentioned, in the library, there's that whole history area, and your book is in there that tells about the history of Grafton, and we can appreciate sharing some of the story and the personal experience with that tornado from 50 years ago.
Thank you.